Hey everyone, it's Megan Trainor.
And I'm her big bro, Ryan.
And we're starting a podcast called
Working on it.
Episodes drop every Wednesday, and we can't wait for you to listen. Listen to Working On It on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
No, I'm actually okay. I'm okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, this is your business. This is your beeswax. You tell me how it works.
No way. You've done way. You know, I might have.
Where are you?
I'm in Sacramento. Jealous.
You are in Sacramento? For why? For why?
Wow. It is early. You're usually up early, way earlier than this. But yeah, I guess noon is when the Sandy Bullock sentence train just comes to a screeching halt.
No, not really. No, I'm a mother of two young kids. There is no sentence train. Yeah. Sentence train has left the station a long time ago.
I was doing shows up here this weekend. There's a really good comedy club called The Punchline.
Oh, I know The Punchline.
Oh.
I do.
Have you been to Sacramento ever? I mean, you've been everywhere.
Never. I was waiting for it to be the kids' field trip, which I think in the fifth grade, that's what happens. But since we were pandemicked, there was no Sacramento.
Wait, you were really going to take a Sacramento field trip?
They do. Every child in the fifth grade, I think, goes to Sacramento as like the big field trip for 3 days. And it didn't happen because of the pandemic.
You're an Oscar winner. I can't tell if you're fucking with me or not right now.
No, that's in school. Ask most parents in California. There is a trip to Sacramento and there is a trip to San Diego to see the missions. You have to do some project on the mission. So both those things I lost the ability to do, given the pandemic, because we didn't go anywhere.
See, now when I was a kid,
are we? Well, is this it? Is this
when
our,
I was a kid? Yeah, we're going. We just get into.
We're going.
It.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, so go.
How was my mime cigarette, by the way? I've smoked probably 10 in my life.
Yeah. It was okay. It wasn't great.
I fear the day when I book a job where they're like, I mean, even in the heat, Paul at one point was like, I think I'm gonna have you smoke cigarettes. I was like, can it be weed? Because I don't know how to do a cigarette and make it look cool.
And then you see those actors that when they smoke, they hold the cigarette really close to their face.
Yeah.
And it becomes like their lover. It's like, it's part of their thing. And then it's got it. They're caressing their cheek with, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Put the cigarette down. There's an ashtray. Put it down. You've already got the lungs full. Yeah. What do you need to rub your face on the cigarette for?
Also, the shot's not even on you.
And you know what else I love is when they go like this. When they're pulling tobacco off their tongue when they're smoking a filtered cigarette.
Are there classes or?
Yes.
To teach you how to smoke on camera?
Yes. I'm joking. No, there's not.
See, again, you can't shut it off.
I can't. Always on.
I do. Always on Bullock. I want to know though, when I was a kid, I did field trips to like, you know, an apple cider farm or the zoo.
Do you want to preface by saying I grew up in Seattle?
Yes.
Therefore, we had apple cider farms. You don't think, Los Angeles, California, apple cider farm. Now it's like weed farm. You know, it's.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you say that in jest, but that could be a potential field trip where maybe not in the grade level your kids are at. But maybe like middle school, high school?
Well, if they're going to be industrious, you want them to start young and understand what agriculture is available to them to partake of and to invest in. Now, is weed a smart investment? I don't know. I feel like everyone is doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Like tequila? There's,
I know. And I've, you know, barked up this tree with you many a times, but like, and I know you say that there's
what you're gonna say. I'm like, what tree is he barking up today?
No, just the branding, like, and you've told me like how many people come at you being like, hey, do you want to have your
represent
line of this
tampons, you know, your line of feminine hygiene products?
Yes.
I say yes.
By the way, was there really that?
No.
Do you realize the money you would make with Sandy B tampons?
Sandy Beach.
Yes, I do. She says, yes, I do. I've thought about it.
I need to listen before I speak. I forget. Again, I've only had 2 cups of coffee. I didn't know where you were going with that. So I don't think my name would want to be in those places.
Right. But you know, but you do know that, that there are,
dark place.
But that, I mean, you know, money talks, right? I mean, like how, so a weed strand, a CBD strand, are these things that have been, that you would ever consider?
I would think that people that I know who are very knowledgeable in that world should probably do that. Like you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe those who really understand it. I'm trying to think of what do I need to advertise that I know a lot about?
Right.
Very little. Very, very little. I really don't know what I would sell. Like what, like you really have to be okay selling something to someone that they probably can't afford to buy, but then you have to be so convincing that they break the bank to buy. I just don't, doesn't feel right.
Well, how do you, well, when you're selling people on, you know, with your real estate, your movies.
I don't sell it. I just restore it and find a purpose for it.
Can we talk about this? Why are you not?
Do you think people want to hear about this?
Yes, Sandy. Okay. This is a, I mean, you know, you always talk about like your acting life.
I never talk about my acting life.
No, ever. Let me finish.
Ever. Funds, oh, that's right. I have to listen to you. I keep forgetting. I assume I know what you're going to say and then I'm wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to be quiet.
That it funds and supports your real estate flipping, decorating, like
there's not so much.
Passion.
I'm not a flipper.
Okay, cool.
I'm not a decorator. What I do love is the preservation of history within architecture.
Gotcha.
You walk into a place, you, meaning me, and I just feel like you can feel what it wants to be. I can feel what it deserves to be in the craftsmanship, what was intended. And then you find a purpose for it. And it's, oh my God, are you okay?
Oh God.
There literally was the sound of a body falling off something and hitting a hard surface. I know this well, having 2 children, like there's that sound and you are already mid run because if there's silence after a fall, there's injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want, it's what
and
a
by
weird.
By the way, nobody answered me when I asked if they.
Oh God. Should we put a pause? Yeah. By the way, you're doing a very Willy Wonka half concerned. Oh no. Is he drowning in the chocolate river? Somebody help please.
Oh my God, remember that was a little creepy. I was a little
remember
creepy.
Gene Wilder?
Great. Do I remember Gene Wilder?
But you remember
no
him?
No one else but Gene Wilder could have done.
Thank you.
What he did? Did you ever hear that the reason he did the somersault at the beginning? He demanded that was so that if he could lie about that, do you know what I mean? If he could convince people of that Willy Wonka, he could convince them of many things. Like he, it just was just like a really interesting. I mean, as an actor going, I'm going to do a somersault. And now it's iconic. It's absolutely iconic.
Oh, truly.
That's the difference between Gene Wilder and the rest of us.
Yeah, no kidding. That movie, too, was like the first movie I feel like I saw as a kid. And I want to hear what yours was that made you truly have a greater appreciation for just movies and film in general. Because I didn't even think about, you see candy stores, but I never thought like that there was a factory that you could visit like a theme park. So that was so mind blowing. And then
like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
The toot sweet factory. What was it? Little toot.
The toot.
Lollipop that toots.
The toot. The, what does it do?
Remember Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? He came
you
up with
toots?
A lollipop.
There's a farting lollipop. What, where, what are you
Adam,
talking about?
Adam.
Sorry. I'm
Adam.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You're not my, you're not 11-year-old Louis, are you? You're a grown-ass man.
That's debatable.
That is debatable, but I was trying to give you props on your show.
Thank you. Wait a second. You said I'm not Louis. Is this, are we talking now Louis' brand of humor? Please break it down for me.
Okay. If you consider farting humorous.
When
and farting
is it not?
All the time.
Okay. That's
in
yeah.
In planes.
Oh boy.
In small compartments. Like
no,
we'll
thanks.
All get, it's not.
Oh
it's
God.
Just, and it is funny.
It is. Come on.
But as a parent, you cannot condone such behavior around people who are outside, like a family, like if it were just me and you, that's fine.
Yes.
But when it's others, it's not fine.
No, because then you have to, you're, you know.
Apologize. And you have to look at him sternly and go, Louis, don't do that. And then he's got that look on his face because he knows I'm going to break and I'm going to be on his side, but I have to be like stern.
Oh, I've seen that look where it's just, come on, mom, you know it's that like, shit was funny.
And then he'll go, what? What? And I'm like,
Yeah.
Yeah, he sells me out.
Wait, so what was that movie for you that when you, that you can remember seeing that maybe, and not even, you know, just blew your mind, but made you really have an extra appreciation for movies?
For film, oddly, it wasn't until I was already on my journey to, in making movies. Because when I was a kid, we didn't really watch movies. We were allowed limited television. So I watched like anything that Jerry Lewis was in, any physical comedy.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett. Lucille Ball, and then being raised between Europe and the United States, everything was Italian cinema and black and white and very sexy and very, you know, I didn't really get that being raised on movies until I remember I was in LA, already had moved from New York City, and I saw Cinema Paradiso. And I remember literally stumbling out of the movie theater. It was hot. I remember the light of California, and I was just two and a half hours into this Italian journey of like memories and cinema and friendships and regret. And I went, oh my God, that's the feeling of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And someone put it into film, you know, and I just, and still to this day, I to sit down and share that movie with somebody and go, this is what makes me aspire to try again. Even when I was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And then you go, maybe this is my opportunity to create a memory of some kind on film for someone in an audience.
Wow. That was a great answer.
Did you, are you a little misty? No.
Yeah. That was a sweet answer.
Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Oh my God. Do yourself and look, it's a man's journey but it's incredibly relatable to, I think, those of us who have a really strong work ethic, have a really strong desire to be creative, and you don't realize how lost you've gotten in the machine. And you get to a point in life and you go, but what about my memories? Mm. Like your child, like what, you know, how long have you been aspiring to this that you've sort of negated the presence of where you were during that journey? And I think I relate to it, even though it was a man's journey. I think because of the European aspect and his mother and just the feel of that apartment and the regret and what started you on the journey to begin with. So I think you would love it. Take your mom.
Cool.
Your mom would love it. Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a big movie buff. Are there certain films that you're showing the kiddos that you're like, once they get of an appropriate age, you're like, all right, like Beetlejuice, Shanghai Nights, I don't know.
All of the above. Beetlejuice is a big one. Goonies is such a brilliant one. You know, they are so much more advanced in terms of their cinematic, you know, taste than I will ever be. I mean, to the point where Louis is now big time into Japanese anime. Big time.
So are my nieces.
What is that?
Obsessed.
That and bobas. Are your nieces into boba drinks?
Probably.
Ask them boba if they've teas, had a boba drink. Boba teas with that little gelatinous thing that will choke you on the way up the fat straw. I mean, who came up with that fat? What came first? The boba straw or the boba?
I mean, this is why we're having this podcast.
I should hope that your viewers and listeners will be able to help me on this, because that is the fattest straw that has its own little cleaning device.
Yeah. And there's no, you never anticipate, and this is going to sound dirtier than I want it to, but when the ball is coming at, let's just change topics. Sandy, is there
one can never anticipate the velocity of the ball when it's coming at your face.
Oh my God.
Says LeBron James.
There's LeBron James. Yes.
Says Tiger Woods. Says all the greats. So.
Was there a family program that you guys, I mean, I, you know, obviously, we were now, you were The Unforgivable. You shot actually during COVID, yeah?
Yeah. The first half we shot pre shutdown. Then we got shut down. And then 6 months later, we shot during the very beginnings of it where we didn't know what we were doing other than developing a protocol for
right.
how to shoot in COVID.
Yeah.
And if we got out alive, we were like the canary in the coal mine for Netflix. And it was like, if we got out alive, then they had a protocol.
I have many things to say about and questions, but first and foremost, and I texted you this, and you're just, you know, I think you can take compliments, but you're also just, you know, always dishing out humble pie and eating slices of it. But you're just so good all the time. And truly, like, it's like this part was so different. My mom and I were watching it. She's like, I don't see Sandy. Like, I just like, and you get so lost in every character that you play. But this was like, the story was pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I have many questions about prep for it and how it found you.
You know,
they'll be very pumped to hear it. But I just want you to know, like, we were both just blown away again. And so I don't know
tell your mom thank you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, she also texted me to say
Hi.
Hi. And then, you know, the mom text, I'll just read it. It was, you know, to the extent of warm regards, whatever. She said, like, warm regards. It was a very, like,
I love when people say warm regards.
That's why I wanted to mention it. It's sweet and fuzzy, and it's very maternal.
Yes. Warm regards.
Yeah.
It's not offensive. It won't offend any gender, any religion. It's just like warm regards.
Warm regards. It's universal.
It's like a blanket. It's like a fuzzy alpaca blanket.
Man, she still orders online quite a bit of the, is it White Trash, right?
From Walton's.
Walton's. Let's give that a little plug, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, give that calorie bag.
It's a great holiday treat, I'll say that.
It's a great holiday treat, but it is just a hip maker. It makes muffin tops and hips faster than you can finish. You finish half that bag, you're like, what is happening?
It's just good stuff.
Yeah,
this is your spot that sells a lot of goodies, and it's just Google Walton's and White Trash, and two of your favorite things will pop up.
And my face will come up.
And your face will come up.
White Trash, just in general, my face will come up. Yeah, I represent. I like.
How did you? Okay, so.
Do you have the list of questions right there, off to the left?
I've got a handful, but you know, like as most shows, I hope end up flowing, like. You know, once we just get into it, I have just
which genuine... we haven't yet. You know that, right? We haven't
started recording.
This flow is, yet.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not even rolling yet, right?
We're not even rolling.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just for. I just wanted to just hang
for
out.
Us.
So
yeah, just for us. Yeah.
No, I kind of have like a map, but then it's like things happen and come up, and then I ask you other questions, and then do we get to everything?
I'll be professional again. I'll let you do your.
No. Okay. I don't like going just one after the other, and that's hopefully why.
I didn't say go one right after the other. I said I'm letting you do your job. So you got very defensive. I didn't say I was going one right after the other. I just do what you do, and I'll try and be professional.
I miss this. Okay, so how about how the movie found you? Mm-hmm. How did you? I know you're getting scripts. Can you at least just share with the viewers, like, how many truly at your level are coming in to where it's like you in a given week, let's say at the height of things moving and shaking, could you have 10 to read a week, or is that crazy?
Sure. I mean, sure. And you have an agency that also decides they're going to be discerning for you.
Yes.
And then eliminates some.
Yes.
And then friends slide you some, or past relationships in work environments will slip you some.
Yep.
And sometimes you're just not reading. Sometimes you just go, you know what? I just want to be family, or I'm working on something else. I can't read right now. And it's not fair to the artists who send you their stuff. And you're like,
right.
I'm working. I don't have the bandwidth at all. So, you know, it could be one, it could be 10. It just depends on where you are and what's actually getting made, because often things might come in that don't have funding, don't have anyone attached. And you go, do I want to develop this? Do I want to attach myself to go down that road of development, which actually Unforgiven was. Graham King, my producing partner on this, who had it originally and developed it, brought it to my agency, and they then brought it to me, and they said, this might be something that you're interested in. And when I read it, I went, okay, it's really interesting to me, but it's told from the wrong perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It was told from a man's perspective. And I said, but your character is a woman. So certain things that are in here just don't apply. So that's how that one got started.
And you sat down with a bunch of, people that had been incarcerated, correct?
Some women that were still incarcerated.
Wow.
Some women that had been incarcerated for life and were now getting out in about a year. And then we also sat down with women who'd been released from anywhere from a year to 5 years. And it still remained able to function outside of the system, which you'll find is virtually impossible for most who have lived a life, a sentence within the prison system.
Is it easy to absorb material like this when it is, having, kids be a part of it? Like, mm-hmm. is there a project or something that I guess makes it easier? Maybe I should read a question off the paper.
Read what you wrote down, because that was not going well at all. And I saw you struggling. I saw the eyes, and I went, "Oh, honey, do I need to step in?"
But you saw that I knew what I wanted to say.
I did. No, let's just take a breath, because you can edit this show. So take a breath.
No.
I can't edit it.
Got to keep in all the goodies. Okay. What I was trying to, I think, articulate was.
Look at your question.
Is there something in, something in this that just stuck out where you were like, not I'm going to have an easier time tackling it, but mm-hmm. it just resonated so much where you got almost excited to take it on, I guess. Does that make sense?
Not easy. I mean, it was easy for me to say, I'm going to embark on this and I know it's going to be fucking hard.
Cool.
Because one, it was an unconventional way of telling a story in that it is very much down the road of like what we're all obsessed with, like the datelines and murder. Like I go to sleep to any horrible murder as long as it's solved. Rob Morgan in this film has a theory on it. And I think he's very wrong. I don't know what it is. But we all are hooked into that. Like there's a murder and there's people talking about it and they have photos and there's evidence. Let's watch it before we go to sleep.
Yes.
So it had that very desirable piece of content for what people like to watch. We're entertainers. You're supposed to make things that give escapism. So there's an element of escapism in that. Yet underneath, there's an incredibly personal story and journey for me and for being a woman and for the system and women within the system and people born into poverty who have no voice. I was doing an interview earlier today and the producer for that said, I got to be honest. I was watching and my husband came in and I told him I had a really hard time seeing Sandra Bullock looking like that. And I went, well, then I did my job most people's journey in life don't have the benefit of the great lighting, the beautiful wardrobe, money, privilege, resources, people willing to help. And when they sacrifice and do the right thing every single day for their family, nobody makes a movie about them because it doesn't look how we want to digest it.
Yeah.
So if I can do that on behalf of 80% of our country, 80% of the world.
Yeah, no shit.
But our country and the women who have found themselves in the system the second they are born, then I've done the right thing. Yes, I was talking to someone. I said, okay, maybe I ended my career with this film because of how I look in it.
But if
I started a conversation with this film, then great.
Yeah, you definitely have and definitely will. It's just always refreshing. And again, like you say, and I'll say it for you, people that have done so much and been so accomplished like yourself to strip away and play somebody like this and then feels like a no-brainer in the just trajectory of like continuing to, I guess, challenge yourself and play different parts you haven't played before. But easier said than done. I mean, like, you still... You still have to
go home to kids.
Yeah.
You still have to.
Is that heavy to come home from a set like this?
Not if you've laid everything on the table during the day.
Gotcha.
It is actually going home to the kids was a relief. But it was not easy the first half. Then we got shut down. And then how to go back and be as intimate and film the same kind of film, having to stay 100 feet away from each other and being really scared.
Yeah.
you know, and I didn't want to bring anything home to my babies. You know, we didn't know who was allowed to be near you. We knew nothing, nothing. But in a weird way, I think that energy that we had still infused the tone of the film too.
Yeah.
You know,
didn't you tell me too, that you were, I think at one point when you were filming that you were in a different spot than the director and they were directing over a walkie talkie or something?
Oh, everything was screaming across a field. I mean, we all had shields and masks and Viola. I didn't get to work with Viola until the second half. So everything we did was masked and shielded when the other one was off camera. We were 15 feet away from each other, except for inside of a car where we could only be for a minute portion of time. Then we had to jump out because of the allowance of 15 minutes and COVID. It just was. And you get the opportunity to work with Viola Davis and you're told to stay away. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, you know? I know yeah. that. Will the kids be able to see it?
Yes.
Cool.
And it is. Yes, absolutely. And it's a hard subject, but it's also about what it means to be a parent. You know, there's my character is already on her way to adulthood and the family dynamic is such that there's an infant in the house, but no biological parents. So she does not have a childhood. She raises this baby and does the best she can, given that she has absolutely nothing at her disposal in terms of support because she is in extreme poverty. You know, and I want my kids to see that it's what I always say is that, you know, what makes a parent isn't egg and sperm. You know, that's just science. What makes family and a parent is someone wanting to be there and show up till the very end and do, you know, make the sacrifices. So some subject matter is hard, but they're pretty savvy kids. I let them see the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Because as a parent of Black children, I want to make sure that I've given them all the tools, not just the safety. Because once they leave my home without me, they don't have me in my luck by birth.
Yeah.
You know, so I let them see probably more than most parents, you know, that are white, let their see their children. But I'm telling you, my friends in the Black community, it's, you have to, it's a matter of survival.
You do let them see stuff, I think, to kind of, you know, broaden their horizons. However, I did send you links to my stand-up and said, hey, show this to the kids. I think they're ready. And you said hard pass. I won't even watch that. I won't even watch that bullshit.
I mean, if my kids are going to see something funny, I would want it to actually be funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want them to be able to laugh.
Yeah, well played.
Yeah. Well played. Yeah. But to your credit, I don't know if your viewers know that you did me a solid when Lou was, oh gosh, was he like five? Where I asked you to call Santa.
Yeah.
And you had like a full 15 minute conversation as Santa.
Full 15.
It was epic.
I mean,
I filmed it and it was just epic. It was just, he was intently listening. Like, just like, okay. All right. So this is Santa and I need to listen to what's happening here. Cause I need some presents this year. Like, it was really, it was amazing.
I mean, he was so adorable as far as like was so excited at first, like, I can't believe I'm on the phone with this guy. Yeah. And then just settled in. And this isn't a testament to you raising him and how just dope he is. Like, he just settled in, was like, I pictured him like leaning up on the bar, just kind of being like, all right, now that, you know, I've kind of showed my true colors as being a fanboy, like, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Presents.
Yes.
What do you got this year? You know, like, and he was very like,
you remember what he asked you about kids who don't have, you know, what about those children who don't have anything? And you were like, well, I'm going to get to them as well.
You can't make Santa cry this early in the morning. So
he was very concerned about the kids that didn't have anything. Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah. I hope you took care of them.
Oh yeah. Always. Yeah. I think there was a point when I was like, how about an Xbox 360? And I remember you're just like,
and hey. I'm in the like, shut up.
Yeah, you're like, it's five, man. We can't get, it's too early for that.
Sticks and stones outside. We're fine with that.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Will the holidays, exciting time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Always, but.
By the way, what a hot button question, by the way. If you were wondering if I,
me about Christmas? Okay.
You would be in your full right to be like, and I think we're good.
No, I mean, look, it's, it is, it, I love traditions. I don't right. care. You know, my Jewish
Thanks
friend.
Thanks for saving that question.
Like, no, but it's just the act of traditions and how you invite others into the fold of traditions.
Yes.
You know, like Shabbat dinner, asking me to come to dinner in my family is an insane honor because it's a tradition that I love. Anything yeah. that has family and friends and invites outsiders
yeah.
doesn't say only our people allowed. Do you know what I mean? Like anything totally. That is inclusive is to me really special. Thanksgiving is beautiful, but it's also a hard one because if you really look at the origin of Thanksgiving,
yes,
okay, it wasn't so great. You know,
yeah.
it's, but I'm, you know, I'm grateful for what we have and we're really honest about what we have versus what others don't have. And how can we, you know, if you have enough to spare, you have enough to share. So how do we instill that every time the food is bountiful on the table, what can we do with this to make sure someone else has it? You know, so it's not just all about us under this roof.
You're really incredible with that too. And people should know that, like not on aside from just being so many people's favorite person on stage and screen, like you give back so much, not only to schools and families.
Is this the smoke blowing episode? Is this like, cause you can cut this, you know, right? You just trim this little part
just
out.
Just take the right? compliment. You're a
but
good
person. But
it's like
person. No one wants to listen to that.
Yeah, you're right.
Get to some juicy stuff. Like, just come on. Go to question
all right.
17.
All right,
what's question 17?
Right. Question 17. Tiger King. Do you think Carol Baskin did it?
Ooh, that's such a good one. that is such a good one. First of all, I want to know, is he really coming out with a line of like, was it underwear? Like, what was he, what
I believe
was
he so.
Trying to push? It was underwear, yeah. right?
Maybe it was edible underwear. I think there was a twist to
oh
it.
Oh my God. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Who came Carol up with Baskin, that, by the way?
He did.
Sorry. Quick tangent.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right.
He did. He
yeah,
did.
1,000.
That's not too far-fetched for him.
No. Did you watch it, first of all?
I did. Oh, everybody watched it. Everybody
Thank
watched.
You.
She is fascinating.
Fascinating.
She's absolutely fascinating.
I'm fascinated husband, by someone.
Who, the husband, fascinating. Is he yeah. afraid? Do we think he's afraid?
Oh yeah.
You think?
Well, she killed him.
No, the current husband.
Oh, oh
she didn't
yeah.
kill the current husband. He's oh. he's still around.
By the way,
now,
yet.
But
yet, if I'm like, Lester Holt, yet, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like I you know, you'd have to probably. I don't know. It's just so fascinating.
Fascinating.
Like,
anyone
I was
who
gonna
refers-
make a joke, and then I was like, am I gonna get sued for that? Better be quiet. Better
no,
be
you're
quiet.
Fine. I think in the world of Tiger King, anything goes.
Yeah. I just say look through tiger excrement. That's all I'm gonna say.
Whoa. Did not why wow, you do watch these shows. I would not even have gone there. But yeah, like
how can you not go there?
Well, I didn't think I just thought maybe she would have like had him. Yeah, I guess I was, you know, my stupid brain was like, yeah, maybe the tigers, he fed him to the tigers.
Yeah.
They chewed him up a little and then spit him out.
And then you spit him out and then you buried him. Like what?
Yeah,
what
no, that doesn't matter.
Like, do you ever watch like the National Geographic channel? You ever see an animal chew up something and then spit it out?
Not in a hot minute. I mean, I am in Sacramento and this is the place
that's
where
true.
You
that's
have,
true. With
it's the king of downtime
farms.
With the apple cider farms.
Yeah. Yeah.
There, yeah. Tiger King was one of those things where it was like, I mean, I guess the world was in a place, the country, especially here, where it was like the timing of it was so brilliant. It almost made me feel like they started the pandemic because it was such a, like, everybody
Curious
was
escapism. You
yeah,
could
totally.
Not escape more than with the Tiger King.
You could not. And
yeah.
anyone who refers to people as cats and kittens, I feel like is hiding something.
Yeah. It's
right?
special. It's
Would
special.
You All right, here's
it's,
a little
it's almost like the natural version of Succession. Do you watch Succession?
I'm just
Oh.
I know.
My
Wow,
word.
You're putting your hard Sandy B stamp on this show.
The most brilliant writing act it is just it is beyond it's like the Tiger King except just with people.
When are we what would you ever fuck with a show like that and like jump into that or is that just too
I wouldn't lower their standards with my presence ever. They are the bar is so high with Succession. It is just brilliance. It's absolute brilliance.
But even just the schedule is it are you so now conditioned to like movie life schedule that you and what you can work out as far as like, you know, when, how long it goes and when you get to see, be with fam, like is, mm-hmm. I know probably Succession, I'm sure isn't a 9-to-5 sitcom schedule. It's probably pretty crazy, right?
It's pretty, I'm sure their schedule's nutty. You know, I think I've been lucky in that everything I've wanted to try, I've tried. Anything I wanted, but didn't necessarily need, I got to do and then went, why did I do that? Well, you asked for it, so you did it. You know, like I'm on set and I miss being with the kids. I miss the fact, I hate the fact that I'm missing their moments when all I want to be is with them having their moments, period. So right. I go, does that service a film? No. Does that service all those people who are working so hard? No. So am I doing it a disservice? Sometimes I am, you know, and is that the right thing to do? No, it's not. So why are you doing it? So that's been a big question for me lately is why am I still doing this when I really just need to be of service to the kids, you know? And that's a big sort of, oh my God, I just said that out loud. Oh my God. I think I'm there, you know? So what do I do? you got to do it.
What do I do? You just got to do it. I think is the perfect slogan for the Sandy B tampons. And I'm just spitballing right now.
What do you got to do? You just got to do it. So that isn't that kind of plagiarizing from Nike?
No, because Nike's just do it. Yours is a little more flowy, no pun intended. Yours is a little more like.
Oh, my.
All right. And I got her to fall out of frame.
It's a little bit more flowy. Again, that could be the tagline on the box.
Okay. See, there it is.
Yeah.
I knew we'd find it.
Yeah.
You did mention,
we find it like you, that was question number 11, right?
Yeah.
Find the tampon tie-in because that's your plug-in for this show.
That was,
get it?
Oh man. I've always told you this. You got a comics brain. I don't
you
know.
You got to cut some of this out. Cause we're just going to get skewered.
Nope.
Oh, is that another one?
Dang. Coming in hot. Sandy, you need you.
Sometimes.
You said you're.
Oh my goodness. Okay. We got to stop. Let's be adults.
Okay. You do have a comics brain though. And I don't know if you're, if getting on stage is ever a thing you would do, but like.
I secretly like fantasize about it. I will never do it for fear of flop sweat. I will never.
Oh man. Look at every award show presentation. Like, I mean, just galas I've seen, like you're just so
you don't sweat. Fear and flop sweat.
Yeah, but you have comic timing and you have the ability that all comics, I was just talking about this to a comic last night after the show, and you know, do a good amount of crowd work in the hour and these certain moments. Like you just want to get to a point to where you trust yourself so much to not to listen, but then not to really overthink. And literally when something pops into your head, you trust that you are, that it's the right thing to say.
Yeah,
and even if it isn't received that way, you know how to adjust around that. And you have that. And that's a big part of it. When I see you out there on for presenting, talking, whatever, you're saying things, and I'm like, "Oh, that wasn't scripted." She just trusted that. She's like, "I know. I think I'm funny. I think that's funny." And you just say it.
I think I'm funny, and I'm scared to death. So you have that mix. Yeah.
Operating from fear is a great place to operate from.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's why you, as a comic, and all your friends who just have that bravery, just go up there and go, "I'm going to expose myself," and. The more of a train wreck I am, the better it is.
Yes.
I really do feel that there's an element of train wreck and an unraveling that is exciting for the audience to go, oh God, are they going to fall apart? I want to go with them. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. If you're like me and you love sports, but you miss the biggest sports headlines from the night before and you go, God damn it, I'm such a fucking idiot. Ever wonder how that might affect or impact this week's bets? Relive the best in sports from the night before with BetMGM Tonight. Bless you. Presented by BetMGM. What is this show anyway? I'll tell you, Gramps. It's a high-energy live destination for casual and hardcore sports fans alike. Engaging, polarizing, relevant. Get caught up in the sports betting world with a heavy dose of entertainment. Host Quentin Mayo of NBC Sports Washington and Ryan Horvath of 1250 AM The Fan and Trista Crick are joined by on-site correspondents to bring you insider information in real time. You know that every detail matters when making bets, and BetMGM Tonight dives deeper to help give you the edge. Look, it's fun to bet on the game, but it's even more fun when you've got the inside scoop from fun, entertaining people that have the comic gene. as they're talking about the sports and games you love. So tune in to BetMGM tonight, presented by BetMGM. Listen on Odyssey, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
You mentioned doing a bunch of different projects. I want to do something because I got so many fan questions about certain projects. Okay. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I think it might be a fun thing just to go down the list of some films and just get either whatever comes to mind. I'm going to say, you know, I was talking to another buddy about this who's done a lot of comedies, and he was just like, I was asking him certain questions just as a fan and a friend, and he was like, man, I haven't thought about that in years. And I go, that's crazy because it's so iconic. And so I want to know, maybe that'll spark some of the same thoughts for you. Either a sentence, or you can even, or if it's a memory or a story or even one word, or you can say pass. Thank you for your time, Adam. Please do not post this.
Okay.
The proposal.
Ryan and I, like, Ryan and I have known each other since we were prepubescent. I mean, like, we go way, 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 way back. And we had to do that scene, the naked scene that day. And Ann Fletcher, our director, who's just incredible.
Brilliant.
Just incredible. Just so great. So we had a closed set, which means no one's allowed to be on there. Just hair and makeup coming in fluff and hide. And, you know, Ryan and I have these flesh colored things stuck to our privates, you know, my hair's strategically over the nipples and
perfect.
Ryan's little, not little at all. It's just whatever's there. And I don't know, cause I didn't see it. Didn't look, is protected and caressed and stuck and wherever it needs to be stuck.
Yeah.
You know? So we're doing it and we collide together and we're on the floor. Why are you wet? Why are you, you know, whatever. And why are you naked? And we're lying there and they have to say cut, but we couldn't really move. So he was on his back with his knees up and I was sort of on the floor, just sort of like resting on his knees like this, just waiting. And you don't want to look. We couldn't really move. And then I hear Ann Fletcher from the darkness go, Rad, we can see your ball sack. And I'm like, oh God, because you want to look down. Like, don't look down, don't look down. And you're like, should I help? Is there something? No, we're not helping. Not going to help you.
Oh my God, like, I can't.
Yeah. That just Anne's voice booming that, you know, not gently, but as loud as you possibly can. And, you know, everyone in the darkness spun around to see if they could find a monitor. I was like, Anne, there's a way to present that information. Yeah. So it was just like, but in friendship, you go, you just didn't care. It wasn't my business to look, you know, it's like we just there. And then Anne just bringing everyone's focus to that area. And Ryan was just such a, he was so cool. Like, he's just like, unflappable. He's absolutely unflappable.
There is a way to present that info. It's almost like at the grocery store when some guy comes in looking for Valtrax and they're like, hey, Jimmy, Valtrax, is it aisle 6 or 7? And he's like, I actually don't need it, man. I was just coming for bread. I was joking. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got
gluten-free bread. I want a gluten-free bread.
Yeah, you misheard me. That's a great story. Yeah, that you forget. I guess just even in those moments, how much planning and prep there is.
And so much, again, like you, what you do for a living, humiliation. I'm like, I will do this naked scene only if I can be humiliated and funny. You will not see me trying to attempt being sexy naked in real life or on screen. So it's like, you just go, there's no point. There's just no point in it. So, but it's like for that reason, with a friend that you trusted comedically and safety wise, I knew I was in the presence of safety and allows you to do, cause we were like, I said, okay, when I slam on you, I'm going to slide down on my cheek, but I'll avoid an area. And also, but you literally physically have to plan out how you will keep the other person's space safe, you know, and that's hard to come by with people that you have that sense of camaraderie and safety.
Totally. It was apparent on screen. And even like you just saying that moment when you slid down, but you're trying to avoid, it's like, thank God you had that trust because that was such a funny moment of that whole scene and just added to it. That's a great story. All right. The Net.
You know what? I just remember running all over the streets of San Francisco and just running to a computer and then running somewhere else. Like, I know that there was more to that movie. What I recall is a lot of running to devices and then people asking me, so this hacker thing, is that real? Like, there's people like that? And I was like, like, I think I got a taste of the dark, dark web long before the general public did, because we got to interview someone who was that.
Wow.
And it was really like, we were so innocent and naive. at that point, you know, with our a little electronics, or they weren't little at that time, but you know, it was just, so that's just what, and the sweetness of Erwin Winkler, who directed it, who produced Rocky, you know, so you such a good, him and his wife, Margot, the nicest, kindest human beings to an actor that you'll ever want. Just lovers of film, lovers of actors, just like, you just felt you were, again, safe, kind people. You got Ryan, you got the Winklers.
Yeah, it still holds up too. While You Were Sleeping. Come on, Chicago. this is going to be on all the time. This is a holiday classic.
While You Were Sleeping, I'm going to be transparent. And I think I had my, I don't want to use the word debauchery.
Yes.
But I was sowing some oats.
Okay.
And somehow I always made it to work on time. But the night before, my friends and I would find ourselves, you know, Wednesday night was, you know, salsa night, this one little dive. And then, you know, I was on the back of Ducatis in the middle of the night, flying down freeways to get my car out of Hawk. I mean, like the fact that I finished that movie. I look at that and I just, I know my kids will do what I did.
Yes.
I'm just shocked that I came out unscathed. And I had the best time in Chicago in the middle of winter on that film. I look back and I should hang my head in shame, but I don't.
Good.
I sit up. I sit up when I say that. That's awesome. A good time.
Have you seen that? I mean, Chicago in the wintertime does rule. And I'm sure when you're out there for what, I don't know, 2-3 months, right? Mm-hmm. Like just, do you go back and that's, such a classic. Have you seen it in a while? Did you watch it?
It is one of the sweet, yes. All the elements, that's John Turteltaub's delicate comedy and emotional hand, the director. He's such an empath, such a sweetheart. So from a comedy world where he understands, like his casting of that was like, if you look at that and you go, and I wanted that film so badly. I had to audition with so many people. Someone else had the role and she couldn't do it. And I remember that audition so vividly because that's one of the few films that I was like, this is meant for me. I can do this. I know what this is about. Oh, but I was full on only in that audition phase. And I remember what the room looked like. I remember how small it was, where John was sitting. I remember the wall. I remember the couch. I just wanted it so badly.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And people don't know, again, just from being on the inside, that, you know, there are fallouts like that or schedule things. People are doing other things.
I'd say most films that I've done had someone else's fingerprints on them before. And people love to bring that up. They go, well, how do you feel that such and such was attached? I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Because there were things that I was attached to that I should never have done, that I didn't do, that someone else did, that were brilliant because I wasn't in them. You know what I mean? Like I come from the world of things work out in this business, kind of the way they're supposed to, you know, in terms of who plays what role and how things get executed. And it's always been the case with me. I have no regrets. There's nothing that I wish I would have done. Nothing.
Well, I know Meryl Streep was supposed to play the role of LeSoir in The Heat, my role. Mm-hmm, and I don't know how I beat her out for it.
She could not grow your beard. I mean, Meryl can do a lot of things, but she's authentic. So she said, if I can't grow this beard naturally, I am not doing this role. And this is what we love about Mare.
I call her Streepy Streep. Yeah. She's, you know, she's got, there's just something about her.
She's got no facial hair. So therefore she did not do your role.
It was a hard pass, but she did have a lot of True Religion jeans.
Oh my gosh, that's right. You wore those.
Remember those? Yeah.
The stitching.
By the way, that was like, I think that was maybe the first or second thing you said to me, even before introduced yourself. You're just like, wow. Yeah. She goes, that makes sense. You looked at me and you go, those jeans. You go, yep.
Yeah. They were very loud. They had a lot to say when you walked away. That should be the advertisement, True Religion. We have a lot to say when you walk away.
God, see?
Snap. I'm telling you, we have two product placements that we should be working on.
Look,
needed you in partnership to really get the I was going to say something, but it didn't work with the first. I didn't want to say it because you would have run with it for the first product placement.
The time is now. I'm still here. I'm in Sacramento. I got downtime. Miss Congeniality.
The first film that I fully produced, in Austin, Texas at 112 degrees, just schwitzing. It was like beehive in sequin gowns and schwitzing, but just fun. The girls, we had so much fun. William Shatner. Can I tell you what a love William Shatner is? Yeah. I mean, the man is such a player. He's so game. He's so funny. And then Michael Caine, we almost killed Michael Caine.
No.
I almost killed Michael Caine.
Sounds like a documentary.
And I'm telling you, he's a beast. He fell into a stage pit that wasn't marked off and he had a light shining on him, like where the lights are, like where the orchestra pit is. He fell, could have sued us, didn't. We had acupuncturists on set that jumped on him, moxed him, got him bright as rain. The man is a beast. He bounced back up. Like there were like shards of glass poking out. And the man, I almost killed Michael Caine and he came out better. I mean, I'm like, how is it that you are? So it was a fun shoot, but that was a hard day.
Did he scream anything when he fell? Like,
nothing.
Oh, Jason,
nothing.
Somebody called Bruce Wayne.
Nothing. That's what kind of beast he is.
Can you do a Michael Caine? That's one of
Michael
the.
Michael Caine. I can't do Michael Caine.
You just did it. And I'm, no. See, you jumped right in. I thought you were going to say, I don't do impressions, but you tried anyway. And this
I don't do impressions.
Somebody told me once to do a Michael Caine. You say my cocaine.
My cocaine. You're right.
Yeah.
My cocaine. Michael Caine.
With the little nasally British accent, right?
Michael Caine.
Good night, all my princes inside a house, babies. Ooh, I'm paraphrasing. I forget that line.
That's really good.
Good night, Tobey Maguire. Someday you'll be Spider-Man.
You're good. You are Michael Caine. That's good.
All right, a few more. Practical magic.
Lots of hair. My favorite night of that was Griffin Dunne, the director. We were in the house and there was that sort of drinking moment.
Yes.
And Nicole was like, let's get drunk. And we're like, yeah. And she goes, I'll bring the tequila. And we went, okay. And she comes up with Cuervo 1800. And we went, okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
And we proceeded to just like hammer back shots, Griffin and Nicole and I. So when you see us, we are sweating because we are hammered. I can't hold my liquor.
Yeah.
But I drank some liquor that night. And Nicole and I had, it was just sweetness. I always felt like she was royalty and I was the jester. Like my job was to sort of around Nicole, you know, because she's so elegant, but she is so game. She's so game and it was a sweet time. I feel like I look back and then I go, that was such an innocent time. Mm. Like I didn't know a lot of things that I know now.
Yeah.
And so it was just a sweet time.
Were you homies with her beforehand or?
No.
Met on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's another thing too. I think people assume they just go, oh yeah, of course. Like A-list movie stars.
Everyone knows each other. They all know each other. No,
they all
no
go to the club anybody. Together. Yeah. No,
no
yeah.
I don't. I know no one. You know,
so
you
truly,
meet everyone. Yeah. Truly like a first time. Okay. Now you're sisters. Let's carve out what our backstory is and let's pretend.
That's awesome. Ocean's 8.
Mm. You know, the women of Ocean's 8, we still have our chain.
Oh, cool.
I admire so much because everyone in that film had fought their way through a lot of adversity to get to where they were in their career. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone had their story, their war stories. Everyone had their unique way of creating their success. No one was handed anything. And you felt that like we were warriors who came in and said, okay, how do we try and make this sing? This was before Me Too. Me Too was just starting to trickle in. You know, there was an election that happened and things were shifting and we sat there and I go, if we made this film now, I would love it if we had made this film now versus at that time. And I think everyone might feel the same because what we would be allowed to do and say and how we would be allowed to be as women would be vastly different. And every single one of those women, I just think is magnificent,
yeah,
and baller and just loving and supportive and real. There's not a one that wouldn't return your call or show up or say, are you guys in town? How's everyone doing? Just checking in. Every single one of those women has the other women's back. And that's a beautiful thing.
That's amazing.
Hello, everyone. Mrs. Claus here. The holiday season is just around the corner, and with it comes the yearly questions of what do I wear to my non-ugly sweater parties? I thought that said panties for a minute. I'm such a freak. How do I maximize my time savoring holiday moments and minimizing my time shopping for gifts? Well, fear not, fuckers. Weary holiday wanderer Mack Weldon has all the answers. Whether it's an office party, a party with family and friends, or just a holiday party of you, your couch, and a game on TV, you loser, Mack Weldon has all the essentials to keep you stylish and comfortable throughout the holiday season. And their innovative daily wear system has taken the hard work out of outfit planning with pieces designed to work together for any occasion, saving you time and sparing you any extra holiday stress. We're talking top-notch tops, best-selling bottoms, and underwear and accessories that will please even the scroogiest guys on your list. They don't have edible underwear, although I wish they did. Fruit snacks. With Mack Weldon, your holiday heavy lifting will be complete within minutes. You know, I'm a big fan of their sweatshirts. Their Ace sweatshirts and sweatpants and the Warm Knit collection, they're just so warm and cozy you can sit around, feel like a slug in a sleeping bag. You know, I'm somewhat of a stickler when it comes to comfortable sweatpants and sweatshirts. I was initially skeptical when I heard the hype around Mack Weldon's Ace collection, but man, I was proven my bitch ass wrong. Pairing super soft high performance fabric with unmatched style, these have become the pieces I live in, whether I'm hanging at home or running down the chimney or farting around in my fart pants. This former sweat skeptic has a new outlook on life. Just don't sweat it. Trust Mack Weldon. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not a fan of the cold. Anytime Mr. Claus turns the temperature down to 65, I just punch him in the dick while he's sleeping. Feeling like walking around like a fucking popsicle, it's not my style. But with Mack Weldon's Warm Knit collection, it features shirts, vests, pajama pants, and more. My chilly winter days are behind me, and kicking old Claus in the dick while he sleeps is just in front of me if he turns the temperature down below 64. Using innovative technology that uses your own body heat to keep you at the perfect temperature, these products from Mack Weldon have me saying something I never thought I would. I'm ready for the cold.
This holiday season, every guy deserves to wear unforgettable clothes that he loves for the moments with loved ones that he'll never forget. That's why Mack Weldon is always on my holiday shopping list for giving and getting. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/ALN and enter the promo code ALN. That's MackWeldon.com/ALN, promo code ALN for 20% off. Mack Weldon. Get it right this holiday season with Mack Weldon.
Yeah, I can only assume there was a lot of goofing and just like fun. Scenes when it was all A to you.
Yeah. In fancy clothes. Why did your background just go black like that? You are completely black. Is this
finally
now the serious questions? Like, is this what happens? The lights go down.
There should have been the Weakest Link theme song, right?
Do you not see what I'm seeing? It says City
I do
View.
See it. Yeah.
Oh. And the City View is back. Okay. Okay. So bizarre. Okay. So you're not really with that background. That's a faux background.
Oh man, I feel like
I'm calling like you out.
I feel like when I was in the fifth grade and I bought this coloring book from a magic shop in downtown Seattle.
Is this a long story? Like, are your viewers going to want to hear this story?
Oh my God.
I just want your show to do well because I don't think we've covered anything that people want to tune into.
We have. You're so not right about that. But I love that you just said that.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I love that you just said that because that's something I'll do sometimes even on stage if I'm asking someone a question or whatever and they start and they go, well, so it's kind of just a go, and then they'll tell maybe in the first part of it and I go, are you selling the movie rights to the story? Like in a very fun,
it's kind of what my kids said when they saw your work. They went, is this a long? What is this? Like, is this a pitch of some kind?
It says 4 minutes, but I feel like it's
comedy.
Longer.
It's a comedian. He's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
He was Santa.
Blindside,
hot as hell. I didn't think the first week of that film was the worst week I've ever shot. And I remember getting into the shuttle van with my amazing team. And I said, I'm going to suck at this. It's going to be an utter failure. It's just the worst work I've ever done. I don't know why I said yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the worst week of work I've ever had. I could not figure out how to land the scene. Could not figure it out.
Wow. What turned it around?
Just getting up every day, remembering who I was playing. The woman was a real life woman, and she was right there for me to draw from, and just finishing the job I started. Yeah. And even though I was insecure and not at all grounded, the entire shoot, a director who knew what he was doing, a director who knew how to take his talent, who was floundering, and go, okay, just go back to what grounds you, go back to what is her, and just, you know, and then I just sat in it. I went, okay, here we are. If you're here, just be there, egg on your face, whatever it is, but yeah. Honor the story, and then go home at the end and just pray that when you're raked over the coals, it's not too hot.
Does the accent come easy? Is that something to really work on? Or just
not
being-
at all. Not at all. Because her cadence is very, she is fire. She is intent. And when I was with the dialect coach for months, and I go, I'm missing something. And the inflection is all there, but I'm just not her. And we realized Leanne Tui's intention is always behind the way she speaks. So once it became one long run on sentence and no one else's opinion mattered because she was going there, whether you liked it or not, then it clicked for me. Then the rhythm clicked for me. And I said, don't think about what, how I would say it. How is she, what is she thinking while she's saying it? And you just had to barrel through it like she did. And then it started sounding like her. I had to shave off about 20 to 30% because I was like, no one is going to buy me. The problem is I come with baggage. It's like very much for The Unforgivable. I have a set of luggage that comes with me that I want people to forget about within the first 10 minutes of the film. Not always successful, but that's my goal every single time. I do something that is as immersive as that. Other times, three quarters of me is there and I'm having a good time. But on with Leanne, I had to just go, I had to shave off 20 to 30% of who she was because she's so alive and vibrant that no one would buy me doing it. And I would not be able to represent her properly, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I don't think I've asked you this before. In just a few more minutes, and thank you again for making time.
You're welcome.
We will isolate that audio, and sell it as an NFT.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Adam Ray.
Yeah. Oh my God. See, you say you don't want to do like VO. You have a perfect, that's a perfect.
No, I don't. I don't. It's not
VO. Like, I don't know if that's for a peanut butter, something real sultry and like.
Peanut butter. Yeah. It's shreddy balls. I'm literally stealing from SNL. It's full on SNL shreddy balls.
Wait, what did we say the tampon slogan was going to be?
I forgot. I seriously forgot.
What was it? It was like, if you don't know what to
just
do.
Just do it. Just, you just got something about just do it while we're stealing from Nike.
If you build it, they will
come. Here's
the
beauty of this, Adam Ray. You can rewind and you can see what we said.
Good call. All right,
this is not live. This doesn't disappear into the ether. This is forever on your hard drive.
Thank you. When you first got rumblings of like, hey, there's Oscar buzz around your performance for this, I can probably assume you're not taking any job for that. Is that even when you get the call? Are you just like, yeah, cool. I'm running. I'm doing this. But thank you for letting me know. Or is it like stop, drop, and roll? You know, hands to the face.
A lot of things were happening at that time. Well, first of all, I'd said no to the project like 2 to 3 times. And then I'd said yes to the project and then regretted it, thinking that I could not bring what needed to be brought. So there was that. The film came out in November, so I was doing press for it. I'd never been around an Oscar. Look at my body of work. It's not like I intentionally set out to win Oscars ever. And neither did anyone else think that I would win an Oscar ever for that. But the press was folded into what I guess would be a campaign, but it, to me, I didn't see a campaign because to me, it was just the machine of press. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
What happened during that, when the sort of, you could feel it happening around the holiday time and all that happened, was that I got a call that my son was on this planet. I get a call going, I'm sorry, what? Like I'd filed for adoption years before. And they said your placement. And it was on December 27th. And I saw a little photo and I went, I was in the snow. I was in Jackson, Wyoming. And I go, what do you mean he's here? And I looked at him and I was like, that is the most unfortunate looking child. And I love him so much. It was the worst picture. And they're like, well, he's ready. So I had to figure out how to go to New Orleans after the snow melted in Jackson Hole to go pick him up without anybody finding out, without one person finding out. So this was in the middle of, so everything that had to do with work, I could have given a shit about. Didn't matter. Yeah. Just didn't matter anymore. I was handed my son in a plastic bag full of supplies. But What people don't realize is that when you adopt, you don't just get a child.
Yeah.
The child is then placed, and then you are sort of on a probationary level where you have to wait that certain amount of time where anything could go wrong and anything could happen where that child is taken away. Well, a few months later, life changed dramatically. Sure. And I was on many levels, and I was felt like on the run with a baby, trying to hide it, trying to just process what was happening in my life, realizing that I now could lose a child.
Oh my God.
And so I had to sort of evaluate and go, you know, and again, this goes back to your question. What was your thought process during the whole beauty and excitement? I think for those around me that were excited, my mind wasn't there because I was hiding a child during this time, getting absolutely no sleep. He only slept every 2.5 hours. The dude hates a wet diaper. Dude is hungry all the time. And so when I was at the Oscars that night, I don't remember it. I felt like I was hungover. I had no sleep. I just wanted to get home in time for the feeding. And it was, you know, you don't realize what's going on in people's lives. So I wish I could do that moment over again and be present and say his name while I was up there, but I had to hide, you know? And it's like, that's what was going through my head, is that I was up there just going, I just want to scream like, guess what? Yeah. But I couldn't. And then now in hindsight, that's the way the universe wanted it. You know?
Yeah, they adore you. You're truly just crushing the mom game. And I know you know that.
Not always. No one crushes. No, nobody, yeah, ask your mother. No one crushes the mom. I want all mothers to know you are going to fail miserably, consistently.
Oh, the
and
fact that
feel
I'm
like a failure.
The fact
and
that
your mother
more...
felt like she was a failure until last week, and now she's like, okay, he's doing okay. He's doing okay.
Well, the fact
your
that
mother,
I'm wearing...
your mother feels lucky. Your mother's a proud mom.
Yeah, the fact that I'm wearing a hat during this interview is just really driving her
with like... my name initial on it, which is really sweet. It's just sweet. Sandy.
See, look at that. So quick.
Look at that. Yeah.
All right, we're going to close this out with a quick Inside the Actor Studio 10 question. The James Lipton 10 question. Here we go.
We missed it.
I'm playing Lipton. Here we go.
You can ask me the curse word one because I've always wanted to say that.
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. James Lipton here with Sandra Bullock. Your friends call you Sandy. I'm going to call you.
What's happening with your lips?
I don't know. I did
it.
Sandra Bullock, what is your favorite word?
Fuck me.
How about
my famous curse word? It's the same. They're both the same. Fuck me.
What is your least favorite word?
You. Because usually someone's pointing at me, telling me what I'm not. They're like, you. So I don't like that. You. Yeah.
Yeah. The point is really aggressive.
Oh, it's really aggro. Yeah.
Now, what do you like better? The point when someone enters a room or the point at you when they leave a room?
No one should be pointing.
There we go.
There just should be no pointing.
Yeah.
It's rude.
Put your finger away.
That's why politicians don't do. That's why they do this, because the pointing is intimidating. Watch all. No politicians point. It's all this.
Well, it's all this. Or it's look at y'all.
Okay, stop. Don't you stop.
There's a fake background. Fake background behind Adam Ray. Fake background.
Stop it.
Sorry. What turns you on? It can be
kindness.
Yeah.
Kindness for no reason.
Cool.
Without expecting anything in return, just random acts of kindness where you see it and no one realizes they've been seen, and they just move on.
I love it. What turns you off?
Condescension.
What is your favorite curse word?
Well, same one as my favorite words.
How about who's next in line after the fuck me one?
No, the fuck me is always the go-to. Always. Yeah. Always. Yeah.
Yeah. What sound or noise do you love?
What sound of noise do I love?
Sound or noise. I'm sorry. I was up late in Sacramento last night.
Okay, James. I mean, just like a river, like a small river.
Ooh, good answer. Do you ever put on like, there's YouTube stations of like Calm Cafe and like waves and.
Yes.
All about that.
Yes, all about that one. Yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I hate the sound. You know, clear, I'm going to be very specific.
Please.
Clear bags, like a makeup bag, but it's clear, right? It's clear. Mm-hmm. You can see everything in it.
Yes.
And then all kinds of makeup brushes and pencils in it, right? Where you can see the makeup brushes and pencils. Well, my guess is you got a clear bag so you can observe and find what it is you want to get out. And then you reach in and you pull out that item. What drives me crazy, drives me nuts. And now my group does it on purpose, like searching indecision in that bag, like behind you. And it's like, I'm just in my head going, spot it before you go in and then go get it out. Why are you searching?
Yeah.
Why did you get a clear bag?
Oh,
I hate it. And any sound that sounds like that plastic bag in rummaging drives me insane.
It's like the person, it's like going to Costco with no game plan.
Maybe. Just because I've done that. Like, I like to go and I go, let's see what happens. Let's see what I come home with.
That is fun. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. The rummaging with that noise.
Indecision.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you.
All right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
A professional athlete. Don't know what kind, but just that drive. Next life. And oddly, fantasize about stand-up comedy, which I will never do.
We're going to figure that out. No, we're not. Saying it here.
We're not this lifetime. Next one, Adam Ray.
Oh, all right.
Next one, Adam Ray. Next one.
What profession would you not like to do?
President of the United States.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Last. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
My favorite.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah.
Sandy.
Adam.
I love you. Thanks for doing this. This was
so nice to see your face.
Very nice to see your face. You look amazing.
Family, happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Yes, you too.
Merry Christmas.
You too. Thanks for making time.
Truly my pleasure. Always my pleasure.
I hope you had a good time.
So proud of what you do. It's awesome.
Thank you. The Unforgivable, Netflix everywhere. Right?
Nice. Sign out. Nice. And then you get on our product thing. Maybe we create a company.
I'm going to design a couple, blueprints, sketches. Maybe I won't be the one to design them.
I was just going to say, one of those products, you may not want to be the person designing.
We'll outsource it to someone who is female.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who is a woman.
I love you. Thank you so much. Congrats.
Bye,
you crushed
it. Bye. Be good. Okay. Be safe.
Bye, Sandy. Thank you.
Bye.